phone call.
Sure.
Well, look at this.
You need to get him a sign.
He's our special guest today. In case anybody doesn't know, this is Truman Stone. He's our city attorney. Or city.
You all heard that Truman Stone, our city attorney, is joining us.
Hello, Marlene. I think I know everybody. I think I've actually met Marlene before.
I would say regarding advertising for garage sales, yard sales, I think it would be a great idea to have a program that makes it cleaner, easier
for garage sales.
For garage sales and yard sales, as opposed to having every size, color, shape of sign strewn throughout the city, and you know, the burden lays, I guess, upon someone in the city eventually to pick it up quite often. And if there, I don't know for sure whether what's listed here, that the actual numbers, I mean, Barton at the last meeting kind of gave a best guess estimate of, you know, the activities for the 6 hours to go around and check on or piece up the extra signs. And I don't know whether that's valid or not. And the proposal here that distributing signs in any given week would take an hour. Who knows? But I think it has more to do with, do we have a procedure that makes sense, that everybody understands and can get them to comply with it? Because I have a sense that until it's well done and well broadcast, there'll still be people putting out their own signs and you haven't heard the result of it. So.
Yeah, in there lies the dilemma. You know, we're trying to figure out how to deal with the everyday establishment dealing with their signs, and then you've got pedestrian sign under culture that's out. out there putting a garage sale sign to the, you know, that we do with an 8-year-old kid that's going up there and posting a garage sale sign and so on and so forth. How do you really police that and make that manageable? I mean, do you make a resource of garage sale signs available to people for a nominal fee that are totally legitimate, cool signs that, you know, the whole city kind of looks at it, and, you know, something that you can rent them out for $10 and say this is really, and once you start, people start seeing it, they start realizing that's maybe a way to help manage that, but you're always going to have that.
And I think I was one who maybe at our very first meeting asked whether garage sale and yard sale signs fall under the purview of our temporary signs, and I guess in a way it does. But with all the various discussions we've had, I would not want to see us slow down our process of getting something on the books if that's the only outstanding issue, and when I put it out there that this is an issue that will be dealt with in some expeditious manner, and, you know, come up with a good program as opposed to trying to do something in a hurry just to get it included and find out we didn't consider all the what ifs and, in fact, institute a program that doesn't work any better than what we currently have. So.
I would be interested to hear, I think in his previous letter he mentioned whatever city it was, Dallas that has the garage, whatever town that has the garage sale rental sign, it would be, I think, if we do want to pursue this for them, it would be good to contact them and anybody else and see, you know, how did they do it, how successful has it been, how much time has it really saved staff, how much time does it actually take staff now, you know, some of those practical questions. I think might be useful in our discussion if we want to keep this. And I think it is a good discussion to continue. I think, this is something that, you know, Monday everyone says, oh, I'm talking about all this garage sale time. And, yeah, it takes almost an entire day of staff time that could be better spent doing other things. Seems worth pursuing to me.
I agree with that. Okay. Had other towns contacting them.
Don't need to reinvent the wheels.
Exactly.
Somebody else will report the list.
Am I hearing the majority of the anyone wants to find out more information about this?
About garage sale signs?
Yeah.
What? For rental.
Yeah, it's a rental program. Yeah.
So, yeah, was that Dallas? Is that what it was?
Yeah, kind of staff time. What? We'll have to look into it.
So
we're saying Dallas. Yeah. Okay. We will look into it and see what we find out.
And ask about the revenue stream.
Okay. Change, instead of saying unlimited number of displays or permitted on any legal holiday, whatever. It would say flags are permitted on any legal holiday. Now, you're going to say, well, why do you do that? The reasoning is that if you read the next one, hopefully I'll explain it makes sense. The other change is to make flag display. Right now it says needs one or more flags attached to a single pole. Now, as we tried to describe before, the flag is just a piece of material. The display is what the piece of material is what's hung up. And that's the display. And you can have as many flags as you want. You're allowed one flag display on three times. So what we said with a flag display is by saying, say, adding the language permanently to this. Now, that's somewhat of a judgment call, but usually it's pretty obvious. So, by saying that, that's, and then by saying on the other one, flag, permanent legal holiday or whatever, that would allow, like, you know, when they put on all the American flags on holiday, those aren't permanent. So, but also by saying the flag display is permanently fixed, it also expresses the teardrop flags. Because all those kind of people pop in and out too, they're not permanently fixed. So, it still puts the teardrop flags in the temporary or portable signage area. And it makes it more clear that the public can say, well, these are just the flag display. So, it makes a very clear distinction between flag display, which is a pole out here, and a teardrop flag. So, that makes sense to everybody, that makes sense to us.
Now, if you see this, they're allowed one flag per business.
Flag display.
Like the flag pole.
Flag right. Display. The right. Tank.
Yeah.
The permanently. It
should be one or more flags.
But a teardrop flag, as we thought we all considered, that's really important to find. Those are the ones that put in there. So that puts that clear.
That's not limited to one.
It's a portable sign. At this point, it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because portable signs are put into, and you can have one portable sign in the C2 area, you have one portable sign in the front yard and or the interior yard. So that's. As it stands now, if we didn't adopt, and the other word for this, of course, if we don't adopt the whole permit program of recommendation 2, which allows you more signage, but you have to go through the permitting process. But if all you adopted was this flag section, then still on the mountain. What this is just doing is differentiating well between a flag display, permanent, and those teardrop flags.
Could we just call it a flag pole instead of a flag display?
Or well, the flag display gives you a little more flexibility in the sense that because you can put multiple flags,
right?
You know, like you can put whatever you can put the American flag, the state flag,
sure.
You can put the recycling flag, whatever, you know,
right.
Whatever you can
okay.
Put up there. You're allowed to have one of those.
Okay. Yeah, I only thought, I realize that gives more room for interpretation, but it also causes a little bit of confusion. And
the flag display.
The word display.
Yeah, if you look at the definition, we have
yeah.
Different definitions. We have a flag definition,
yeah.
Which talks about the background.
Okay.
And we have flag display, which is kind of what we think.
And so then on the previous page in the packet you just gave out, under the number 3, Just above number 4, item D,
right.
Flag
right.
Display, so that would also...
Yeah, 3 has the pennant and streamers, which is called different than flags themselves.
Right.
You'll notice, so I guess we're going to get into this, but the reason I said, what I did was I took this is just a very gross outline I gave you last time, which took a half a page. And that's how I just use that very same language to know where we started from. And the recommendation is kind of the expansion of that. This is something we could, most of this we could actually just take out. Now the permit time program. We did pretty much with this, but we would have to put a little more in code language. But I wanted to make sure that people are okay with it set up right now. I'm going to have to track everything so we can get kind of language laid out, then we can put it in the code language. But number three of the potential streamers, that's, again, that's what we laid out last time.
Right.
But you'll notice in the languaging, the language piece, the addition is just on temporary science permits. What I heard, Cal, what you folks said is you wanted to put this under temporary events. So what we did was with the temporary science events, the very first paragraph is the double line, which is the addition. As we said, pet streamers. And then I thought one of the things also we talked about that seemed to fit well into this was all the inflatable object stuff. Over those fluffy airplanes, you know, those kind of things. So we included that in there. I thought that might be appropriate for energy streamers as sort of temporary. That's a lot of times we see the importance. So that was it. That was something so we tried to add in there and see if that's
something.
Yeah.
Try to put a midday moratorium in the box.
Pardon?
8-day limit as to the length they can put up any of these flags. Is that what I'm reading here?
Well, it depends. If it's a temporary signs. So it could be for anything. It could be the grand opening event, the election event, the other events, and that's.
Other events is only 8 days.
Right.
Pardon?
That's the current law code.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
I always wondered about the 8 days myself.
Yeah, where that was before us.
Why not?
So are we addressing that then to change that?
Well, nobody's really discussed that.
I guess one of the things we talked about is it isn't nearly the duration of the flag being up as much as the overall. Maintenance of what they're doing. And that's pretty much one of our biggest concerns. As a group, when we walk around, and I haven't heard from anybody contrary to this, when we walk around, we look at those that were done artfully and tastefully, mm-hmm. as not objectionable. But there's a lot of expense in that. If the guy goes down and spends $500 or $600 on some flags to put up, and he's only able to leave them up for 8 days, that becomes kind of a
You're talking about a flag.
For others. You know, for penance and so forth. Isn't that what this says?
Well, the penance and streamers are not flags. So I'm trying to be clear about what we're talking about.
Just to back up for a second, I think the grand opening event, the other event sections are in here. It's like safety valves. What they say, so the rest of the code has got restrictions on numbers and size and everything. But during the grand opening event, you basically can do anything. You can violate the code.
Yeah.
And the same thing on the other event. So I think they're meant to be some kind of safety valves. And I thought on the other event, a good example was like Burger King called one time. They were doing some promotion, lasts about a week. They're going to put a giant inflatable Shrek on the roof, which was huge. And so it's much bigger than you would allow as a temporary sign. And it, for 8 days, that's a perfect use other event. They're the only ones really running the risk of that thing, inflating. Burning up from their bed next to it. But that was the intent, I think, for those two sections. Is to say, when someone has a grand opening, even though you're controlling signs the rest of the time, let them make a splash so that people know they're there.
Right.
And then the code restrictions come in. And the other event was, you have a special promotion that lets you just get a lot of visibility for a time. So that's the way to think about it. You can obviously modify that if it can be things. But that was the idea behind this.
Well, what I'm reading here is that we can't use pennants, streamers, or any other thing unless it is one of these A, B, C, D, or things. Is that correct?
The pennants, streamers, and the playable objects like the track.
But the pennants and streamers,
yeah.
Is where I'm headed with this.
So they
cannot be utilized unless it's one of these.
That's correct.
That's correct.
That's correct.
Well, I think I'm hearing you say, it's somebody like Jackson here would not be able to use those feather tenants out there that he is, that is a permanent part of his advertising.
Right. The tenants. Right.
Could you approve what Jax has under this sign permit as a plan?
Well, again, yeah, that's the whole idea. They wanted to put things as sign permits as well. Let's see. No. They would not.
What's a pennant? Find us.
Well, it's the stuff we showed last meeting or whatever.
He has a bunch of teardrop lights. He had like four of those.
Now, those things, yes, if he did the sign permit program, again, you can have more signage out there, but it has to be the, we have the criteria here that we laid out. And some kind of criteria of size, colors, and styles, and fonts. But there is a, he may or may not. And again, what we have in here, what we started proposing was like one per 100 feet of street frontage, at least one per business. And then we also said one per of square footage, how big they could be, one per 1 foot of street frontage. And then, actually, this is something I'd like to discuss. I mean, those are things that are sort of like requesting or whatever question. We'd like to see what folks in Chicago, that be like a maximum size. Because somebody who has a really large street frontage, if there's not some sort of maximum size, then they could, under the way, if you have one per 1 foot of street frontage, they could make one huge sign. That would be. Now, maybe that's there's certain limitations of physics of that. I don't know if you have a huge sign that's horrible. Actually, might be able to move it.
Seems to me we've got general agreement, and I know we're talking about just one place of business, but I think there's been general consensus that the way Jax has done it is professional, it's done tastefully, it's attractive, it isn't. Objectionable. So I would hate to have, however we word this, it would hinder, I don't know whether there would be other businesses that would be, in fact, they just happen to be the one business, and they have very legitimate reasons for doing it, because they're from the one direction, they're blocked by the business right next to them, so they need to do something to make people, and they told us when Joe was here, he said it made a difference, it increased their business when they put up those signs, because people coming into town could actually see that they existed. So I would hate to put something in our new code that would hinder them from doing that. But I also don't want to do it just to do it specifically for that business.
Well, I think one thing, if you looked at it, we could do that. We could do the test on this. And I guess the one per 100 feet of street frontage, that would be problematic for him. The one per 1 foot street frontage, I'm not sure. He might, I don't know how to add this, but he, he's got some street frontage there. I'm not sure how much square footage he has on those four. If you're on a flag or banners he uses. Now, we really, and there was a spacing tool. We were talking about spacing on these two.
But it sounds like Jax is a good test case to test the sign program on the
right, but he didn't have a...
See how it would work.
The way I understood it was, when we talked about it, was one per 100 feet of street frontage.
Oh, that's just yes, right, that's
but,
right.
But that's without permit.
Right, but if we didn't, if we made it really small for Jax, like Jax is only, like, I don't know what it is.
You put it down more than
80 feet apart, 10 feet apart, whatever like that. If you lower it really far down, then that means somebody like the Chevy place or whatever, they have one every 10 feet. You just have to say, is that what you want? If you think that would be attractive.
The way something like that could handle on a conditional use, it's pretty dependent on the
Well, I think that's kind of what this site permit program is trying to drive at. This kind of condition, this condition on meeting these criteria. That's kind of the point we're trying to do. I think that's what we're trying to do. So to give an option where people can have more signage, but yet still look attractive.
Let's do the restaurant scenario with an umbrella out front. We have four or five tables out there with umbrellas on it. You know, where it says multiple signs allowed by approved sign plan and permit, will that cover that with the permit?
Let's see, how do we regulate signs down the umbrella right now?
If we get talked about that, would be
we did talk about it. And one of the frustrations we have is we have Burgerville out here who had these really nice signs or steps. They took them down because the city said you can't have them. And yet, that was really, for the client, that was, for the customer, that's a great place to go outside with your kids and get in the shade a little bit and so forth. And it was one of those things that, why did you do that?
I mean, you take the sign that you would take where they print, right? Umbrella kind of image of the square footage of that, not the whole umbrella.
Right. It would, yeah. The way the code is now, you would look at the area of where that sign is printing at.
And then it would, and you get out, you might be able to do with this, but then that might be dictated by how much you struggle harder and all that. So it would be probably harder for that one.
Yeah, see, I could envision some really great competition with gorgeous artwork on umbrellas for different entities. This guy may have potentially have part of his sign artfully done with his name put into an art form that maybe covers the whole umbrella. But aesthetically, it would be beautiful. So how do you argue that one? How do you deal with
Well, and how do you argue that you can put up an umbrella on the solid color or stripes or whatever, but as soon as you put some printing that has...
Then
you're violating the code.
I have a hard time with that.
I would agree with you.
Well, these are, the permits are you're choosing the typical criteria we use for all the other signs, which is usually sizes, distances, and all these other kinds of things. So, but again, this is not, these are not unusual criteria that we're trying to apply here. They typically look a lot of things, but it would, in some cases, it allow more signage, and others, it may be more difficult. But again, it's like spacing issue, like how. What maybe works at Jack's, I think we all think it looks okay, but is that, if we use that spacing as a standard, is that going to be okay to do it out on a really large street front that is not on speed? Is that going to look attractive? Anybody needs to think about
that? I'd say the umbrella is something for the committee to talk about. I mean, you are the committee. If you want to make a recommendation to change it, so umbrella is signs on umbrellas aren't exempt. I mean, that's something you should put out there.
I forget who it was, came to one of our meetings, I think, and I asked the question about how important was it to them if they had umbrellas that they have some kind of signage on the umbrella. And the main issue for them was that it was providing shade for their customers, not that it was advertising their place. At least for that, whoever that was, it was not a big issue for them. And if you said no signs on umbrellas, they could still use the umbrellas for the real purpose of shading and keeping the rain off the customer, but it wasn't used for advertising purposes.
Well, right now, essentially, I think the code is pretty much down.
Because it did, it did affect Burrville, because they had signs on their umbrellas and had to take them down.
They could have put up plain umbrellas.
They could have put up plain umbrellas.
Yeah. No, actually, I haven't seen an umbrella there for a long
time. Jack says what red and green ones, and I just see a potential for a huge loophole. If you allow umbrellas unregulated as signage, then you're going to get Uber Ford lining their entire front edge with umbrellas that are full color prints. And
that may not be bad. I don't know. How do you, again, how do you legislate that thing? Example of they use beers on a lot of these umbrellas to let people know that this is where you get a good cold beer when you want. given to businesses at a very low cost as advertising dollars, and, and so if you prohibit them from using those products, you kind of put in a financial strain on them, because they're going to have to buy those themselves, and you know, you can get a $100 umbrella or a $50 umbrella from a beer manufacturer, or you know, from a auto parts manufacturer. You know,
I think though Nate's hit the problem there is, you know, if you have it there for providing shade at a table or something, that's one thing. But if you create an exemption, then people are likely to abuse it in some manner or another. So if the committee's thinking about doing that, then I think you have to be conscious about trying to.
That's why all regulations. It's not for the average person. It's for the outliers. A lot of times who are going to try to exceed the boundaries. What the community wants.
And
that's kind of why regulations
are good. Yeah, that's still a thing that goes back to the way they're maintained. You know, you've got an umbrella out there that's so faded and nothing makes sense on it because it's tattered. You know, that's not good. You know, that doesn't belong.
Just one thing Truman said struck me, if it's an umbrella at a table, maybe that's one way to think about it. It would be really unusual. I mean, I don't even think I've heard before, but it would be unbelievable if they would have a bunch of tables with umbrellas. It would look really funny. But realistically, if you were thinking of an exemption and you say it's an umbrella that's at a table, it's exempt. You're not worrying about it because Cinzano sends out all these. I mean, you see them everywhere. That's different from someone making a bunch of fake ones. Umbrellas up and sticking in the sides. So that would be one way to think about it. That might be a practical limit, you know. It's nice to come up with things that are sort of self-policing if you can, as opposed to having to be administered and check out.
I think it's a good compromise.
Pardon?
I think it's a good compromise to have it at a table and have it allowed.
So if you had an umbrella with a table, then what? That it could have graphics all over, or
I almost wanted to say to have a clause in there that says, you know, maximum square footage printing. Or
so why do you want that? Why do you want that limitation?
Well, why do you want an umbrella, but it's not over a table?
Pardon?
So this is just printing.
No. I'm talking about why would you want to limit the print that's on the umbrella? It's like saying free speech. You can't do this because you said too many words.
I'm going to put a table up front of my place.
I think you'd be better off limiting the size of the umbrella than the size of a print on the umbrella.
Or maybe just see what happens. I don't think it's going to be a problem. Really.
Yeah, I don't necessarily.
Well, I would like to tie it to public safety. You know, if it's something that is a public safety problem, I think you really have to do that as a public safety issue. But as long as it's not in the way of the right of way, and it's not hindering a public safety issue, I don't know why we would be. I'm not one to use them, but you know, I'm thinking businesses that might come to town. I think of communities and places where I go and travel, and I see these really nice, warm, inviting atmospheres. That you know, these kind of things. We want this downtown and this community to have that warm, fuzzy, come on down kind of feel. And if we start telling people they can't do those kind of things, we're just kind of.
It seems to me, especially.
Warming our ability to.
With the Downtown Coalition looking at what the downtown Newburgh will look like when we have the.
And there's another meeting Saturday morning at 11 at Edwards, and if anyone can attend that, it's quite a.
I mean, I can envision a lot of on the street.
I see some buff out the table
and
further out.
It would be logical to have all kind of stuff. But again, it's tables and benches for a purpose, not just.
Well, you know, again, and if you have the tables and chairs out there with signs out, again, this could still be part of that. Well, I used to have that because that's an old part of the system. Again, it's just goes back to the bottom.
I personally
it's all related to the state.
personally haven't seen umbrellas where people were in a big contest to see who could make the wildest color combination. I mean, they're more there for function, and again, we may be creating a monster that doesn't exist.
Well, like the pool hall down the street here, can't they put tables out on the street in front of the building, you know, that they put a different beer manufacturer on every table umbrella going down? Picture that. Picture that in your mind with the, what they advertise on the windows.
And that's an interesting comment. The reality is that you don't restrict what they put on the inside of their windows, but anything nice and cool outside, you restrict it.
I think it might also allow Jack's to have their signage on the umbrellas, say, you know, arrows and whatever, instead of those banners. It would give an alternative.
Well, again, I felt like could be included in the sign.
Have we got more than two people that are arguing against Augustine's?
Pardon?
Have we got more than two people that are arguing against Augustine's?
Against what? The stuff that's been, well, that's a good one for Truman, I guess.
I'm sorry, I was reading something.
He's asking,
how many people are coming up and giving you or the city a hard time over sign or temporary signs right now?
We've gotten a lot of complaints about political signs. I think the mayor got four in one day. I know dispatch. Let me just put this in a little bit of context. We have people calling police dispatch complaining about people knocking on their doors that are doing door-to-door campaigning. People complaining about people leaving door hangers on their doors for candidates.
They call 911.
They're calling police dispatch for that.
Oh, my.
So that's the context we're working in. So, which to me is just astounding, but I don't want to editorialize it. So we have gotten a lot of calls about political signs. And one of the, you know, as I've talked to some of the people, the real concern seems to be that someone would get an unfair advantage, one candidate over another, by if one candidate's following our code and playing by the rules and another candidate is not. You know, and
So is it Mary Spirit and Ron and Ian Patrick?
Well, I haven't talked to. Frankly, you know, the funny thing is, I haven't actually got the phone calls. You think I would, but Brad's got them. Steve and David have got them. Police chief has received multiple calls. The dispatch, the mayor, I know in one morning got four calls. At least two are from former council members and stuff, you know. So, so it's a hot button topic right now.
Yeah, just in case you haven't seen the obvious, other than Roger's letter, all the other stuff I handed out to you, passed all to election signs. It's all.
And there was even some discussion that the city was going to be sued. It was coming from Kevin Mannix and that kind of group, saying that, you know, the city was, and not targeting Newbert per se, but I think they're looking, they've got a big beef with ODOT, I know, about ODOT and their inflexibility on signs on ODOT property. But I think they're looking broadly at different cities and how they treat political signs. And, you know, they're looking at maybe looking for some test case to see if they can push some of the constitutional issues on these signs. So, yeah. So I think it is a timely issue right now. Yeah, well, and if you read the material, you know, one of the unintended consequences of this committee was that the council asked that the temporary sign code be not enforced while this committee did its work. Nobody was really thinking, I think, at that time about political signs during the campaign season. But we can't be discriminating on the content of the sign, because then we really are asking for significant trouble. So that's where we are. So I imagine tomorrow in the paper there's going to be an article saying that we aren't enforcing political signs, and you'll probably see more popping up here and there.
Yeah, there are a lot of happening about 1985 election.
But only two additional signs
Yeah.
For 90 days,
you get
two initial numbers.
Next time,
12. After 12.
Well, and if you read, you know, Kevin Mannix's letter, you know, he makes some real good policy points, and one would be, you know, like in a residential context, let's say you're supportive of one candidate and Heather's supportive of another candidate, but you're only allowed, you know, three signs at your house. But there's multiple positions. You know, there's right now we got two county commissioner positions open, and let's say,
sure.
Yeah, and sheriff, and let's say you and your spouse are completely at different political positions. How do you, you know, are we going to limit the household's ability to express themselves in a political context by only allowing three signs? I think it's a very good point. And it's something that, you know, the reason I came today was hoping that we could talk about some of these things. So that's one. He makes some points about sign size and the kinds of signs, especially, you know, in a residential neighborhood, you don't need a huge sign because people aren't going by at high speed. But in the context of a highway road, frontage or something where traffic's moving, you need a bigger sign for people to read it. I forget what else was in his letter, but I thought he made some valid points.
As it is today, if I'm a political candidate, there's no permit that I need to take out to put a political sign up.
Well, one of the other problems, though, is, you know, if you really think about it, the candidates themselves put out some signs. But I would say the majority of the signs are not put out by the candidates or their direct campaign workers. There's somebody, you know, like Art says, I want to support so-and-so, and so he goes get signs and he starts putting them up at his house and goes to his friend's house and, you know, would you do that? And so candidates truly don't have a whole lot of control over where their signs go just because they're named on it.
Do you have a recommendation for us as far as this matter goes?
Well, not a fully formed one, but, you know, I guess in my mind, and this is probably personal philosophy or prejudice more than official city position, right? So there's my disclaimer on that. But, you know, the political process is extremely important, and I think, especially in local elections, signs really do make a difference. And if it makes a town look bad for 60, 90 days before an election, I think that may be just the price we need to pay.
I guess sometimes it's the price we pay for democracy.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what we've been telling people who complain about people campaigning door to door is people have a right to come knock on your door and ask you to vote for them, you know. Don't call the cops.
Just politely say no and move on.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. You can just say, I'm not interested in hearing your thing.
You know, when you call back, give you a citation for just using 911.
Well, and it's the same thing. You know, we probably all get those calls during election season, too, that we prefer not to get. But, you know, there's free speech issues there, and there's important political... and you can always hang up. And so, in my mind, the political signs for a real temporary time period shouldn't cause us that much heartburn. I think there's other sign issues that are, you know, something that we need to be more concerned about regulating.
The election event language is the only temporary, is the only event that actually limits the number or the size. The other.
Well, afterwards,
so the time, but during a grand opening event, there's no limitation for the size or number you can have.
Before the event.
Right.
After the grand opening event.
Other events as well. During your other event, you can have as many or as big a size as you want. During the election event, specifically, limits the number and size.
So if we eliminated that second sentence there,
well, let me tell you about the unintended consequence of that. Because there's always going to be these. we can't say you can have unlimited number of political signs, but you can only have a few business signs. Because now we're regulating based on the content of the sign. So if you take away the number limitation for Concord prior to an election, then Render can put up dozens of temporary signs outside your building, and we're not going to enforce that because that would be content-based.
Right.
So.
And already I was talking to Steve about it. None of these are mutually exclusive under this temporary sign thing. So somebody with the day actually has, they said it was another event we had, they wanted to do election signs. They could say all the signs were just elections. They were just part of the other event, not election signs. Because, again, it's not time.
Yeah, we
so
can.
So they could put a whole lot out under this because
yep.
they're not mutually exclusive. They could be done.
But there is a time limit.
Yeah, there is a time limit. But yeah. theoretically, it was like 8 days before the election.
So you should, as a committee, just be kind of aware.
Well, it seems like the committee might want to first ask the question: is this an issue that we want to address? It's not something we really talked about, but it's obviously become an issue.
Right.
But it's not something we discussed as a committee yet at all. I don't recall that. So I think maybe the first question you might want to ask yourself is this an issue you want to try to delve into? And as Truman saying, it could be difficult.
It presents challenges.
I think it'll always be a problem.
Yeah.
If you put it on the books and you try to enforce something, he's going to be spending 90 days trying to enforce whatever we put into place.
Well, the city does, through the election officer, send out information to candidates ahead of time. But again, the candidates don't really control the signs. Although they can try to spread the word, but you know.
So you can't. We couldn't physically in the
well, I was just going to say we were going to use Arv as an example of going out, and he wants to support a candidate, so he's going to go out. Does he actually purchase the signs? Does he have the signs made for that candidate and go out? Understand? Because where is he getting the signs?
He could do that.
He can make up his own signs if he wanted. You know,
when I've done them in the past, you show up at the event, they'll hand me the sign. Until they run out.
Yeah.
We couldn't put a limitation in there saying it has to be for an election?
No.
Because the only way you can tell that is by reading it.
Because, Mannix says that it's political signs are a special category distinct from temporary commercial signs.
Yeah, I think he's wrong about that.
Okay.
And I don't. Is my response on?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I wrote him back and I said, you know, look, I don't take your email to be an argument about what the current status of the law is, but you know, more policy discussion. And he agreed. So, but yeah, we. Common sense would say, you know, one that says, you know, vote Jones is clearly political. But if you have one that's not directly supportive of a candidate, but on some kind of issue, you know, those could be a little trickier. And, you know, what if you have one that says vote rendered in front of your store?
So,
you know, we can't be in the business of going around saying yours is a political sign, yours is not.
Okay, you'll see you have, there are two facts. One fact is the email chain from Mr. Mannix and Brad and all that. That's what that whole, the other fact is showing what's on our website that explains what our regulations are, what power addressing, how like, this sort of issue is addressed. And then there are like two more attachments. One was a development code, which I didn't love, and then obviously for reasons. But the other two are further explanation of what our regulations are about signage in general. So,
But we did issue.
They're related, but they're.
The paper did call wondering about this. I did talk to them. I told them we'd issue a formal statement, which I think is included in your packet. It basically says we're enforcing this during the temporary, during this committee's tenure. And Sam says that, in fact, is in tomorrow's paper.
So. Dennis, if I could just throw one more point out there. We're sort of accidentally running an experiment right now, basically, on election size. So what's happening now, it would be similar to what would happen if we didn't have any limits on election size. I mean, that's probably not completely true. If people knew we had no limits, we might see more. But essentially, they're unregulated right now. So as you drive around, just think about how it looks. And does it bother you? Is it a problem? Or you know, do you think it should be shrunk? But just, you know, we have the experiment out there now. Sometimes these are like thought exercises. What would happen if we did this? Well, this one's not really a thought exercise. This one's, we got one. So just think about, you know, what, how does that make you think about signs? The other thing I noticed was most of them show up about 30 days before the election. You know, we have a span here of 90 days to 14 after. And one possibility would be less limits, but maybe a shorter span. You know, I don't think we see that many signs. 60, 90 days.
Well, think of a general election, you will.
And you see maybe a lot of them after the election. They never get taken down. That's what bugs me.
That's the 14-day
general election. You're going to see them a lot further out. The 90 days will be
And the enforcement is difficult because, as it was brought up earlier, if I didn't, I'm the candidate, and I didn't put it out, someone else put it out on my behalf. You know, how can you hold my feet fire over that?
That's the property.
You didn't even know where they all are.
Right.
That being said, in the member sense, there are candidates who are aware of the regulations that are there.
Right.
Of course, I'm upset because they say, well, it says this, but I'm trying to stick to that.
I have a lot of candidates coming to the front of the office. I'm sorry. I've got a little bit of one sign out in front of my shop. And I've already chosen my candidate. So
and
it's tough.
I like the idea.
Yeah, first come, first serve.
I like the idea of shortening it because I don't want to see it anyway, as much as it's out there. But to let them out there for 90 days prior.
So I think Steve's saying is less time.
Yeah, less time.
But allowing more because right now you're not two. So shorter time, but more time.
Yeah.
So what is that?
Do it get over?
The question is: is it just notice? Is it no?
Let me kind of give you a reasoning behind that 90-day setup. And I think that what happens is, in my case, I may not know all the candidates, but it gives me an awareness of the name. And then I start looking at opportunities to get to know these people a little bit better. So then I start looking at what community events are these people showing up at so that I can go show up and listen to what they have to say. So that's probably why that longer lead time is out there. However, I haven't said that. You know, shorter lead time would not break my heart.
Last year, previous election, I really didn't see a problem with the signage, and I didn't hear any candidates complaining about not being able to put up enough when it was actually being enforced. I really didn't hear an issue from them last year.
So
the complaints
so
were true,
and
we, because
is it
before.
True? So are you hearing from like Bob and all these guys are getting a lot more calls right now because it's not being probably
I think so.
So there's a correlation between how many calls we're getting.
But I also understand that it just this just goes along with election season, then we get these complaints.
But yeah, but like I was saying before there was enforced to some degree. Now with no enforcement there's a correlation.
Yeah, you know, I haven't been here long enough to judge that, but,
well,
but that could be the case.
What you're hearing from Bob and those guys is a lot more than what we get through most elections. So, sounds like I'm hearing.
It sounds like it, but I can say that for sure.
Yeah, you can say
If you drive around to other communities, you will not see nearly as many signs as we have there in
Newport. Really?
Especially this year.
Because we have more social capital.
Yeah.
Active in our community. You know,
actually, I think that's probably true.
I mean, to some degree, that's probably actually true.
People are more politically active in
stuff, but that's a good thing. That probably leads to more signs.
Yeah. But we have to have a raise that you know, some of these are just raises. I've never seen their name out there.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you got two Confederates out there, then you can do everything in your power to get your name out there.
It was interesting, though, we not this past weekend, but the weekend before I did leave town, we went down to McMinnville, and I noticed that the mix of signs down there was significantly different than the mix of signs up here, you know, as far as who's had signs out.
Yeah.
Know.
Both candidates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That was not changing the language on the election.
So, again... Basic question, I think you might want first answer is, do you want to dive into elections?
I would not. Yeah, I want to touch that point.
I'm seeing a lot of shaking heads, so
it opens up. I mean, let's just hands it warm.
So. Okay. So we will not.
Freedom of speech is a good other way.
There may be changes in the future, but it won't be in this committee's purview to do that.
Okay.
if we could switch back to what the proposals are, I just thought of something. To me, just something dawned on me that, okay, we're talking about Jacks. Okay, we're talking about Jacks. Jacks seems pretty cool and like that. But maybe it may not be quite so fun out on the show. And thinking in terms of that, we could make this by zone as well, the permanent part. In other words, the lots in downtown, generally, you know, these are generalities, are generally much smaller than they are out there. So, maybe in the C3 zone, we can have the space, because, again, we keep going back to spacing. Maybe that's just me, but that's really what Jack's is about, a lot of his spacing. Because he has a lot of gutter. So maybe we can allow the spacing standard to be a lot shorter in the downtown area, but be bigger down the C2 area. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So we could go back, staff can come back and think about that, maybe. Well, unless you want, if someone wants to throw a number at it, but we can think about that. Last part there, last sentence, I think, talk about making sure all the entities are parts they want to be able to make it easy to change names.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because if you have one, like the one on the top right, it looks like it's all one just kind of printed sign, and then you'd have to print the whole sign all over again. And so I think that's sort of being one thing
that they could do. In downtown Oregon City, their sidewalk is where they put their wayfinding signs for pedestrians. So they're actually printed in the concrete.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Looking around
then. Yeah. No, there's a local business, and I don't know that name names, but they did a pretty nice sign, but then they engraved all business names in a big metal sheet. And of course, the tenants aren't permanent.
Oh my God, yeah.
They come and go.
Okay. Any other comments, questions about this?
Actually, I have one that might have gotten missed. We put it in here. We had a couple of, just to further complicate the committee's life, we did have a couple of things go up. George Fox, for example, was talking about they wanted some flexibility to put up some of the giant vinyl banners you can get on like the football team. So, it's stadium or bleachers, but anyway. It's an opportunity to put up a big banner, and under our current code, you can do that if it's not visible from the right way. So if it's like this side of it that's not facing the street, you can do that, and because then it's not really a sign. So they have a lot of flexibility, sort of inward facing on the campus. But if they did want to have a sign on the end of it that's facing that Fulton?
Fulton.
Well, that would limit their ability to put up a big 20 by 30 banner. So that's something to consider in the sign program. We're talking about Jack's and those examples, but this kind of thing could also apply to like a GFU, where if they have a coordinated sign plan they want to put on the campus.
I think we were talking about C2, C3, but then we were saying it's like institutions. We have institutional areas, like cultural center.
Cultural center in Hisbach, they go to Portland Art Museum.
Right.
They'll have some big banners coming down the front of the building for exhibits. And we would let them do that, I guess, on a very temporary basis. But, you know, the question would be, why couldn't they do that, have that up for a few weeks or whatever, and then have a new exhibit, put up a new banner. But they would need some flexibility under the sign code to do that. And one thing with the sign program is, you know, if you set it up for, well, if you try to make it a little more narrow so that not everyone can physically do that, but they have to go get a sign program approved. Or maybe give institutional uses some more flexibility for big banners. And it's just something to think about, because I think they have some legitimate needs for these things, for visibility, but the current code doesn't really let them do it. So.
Well, I think the sign permit program could very well fit that quite well, but again, we'll talk when staff level about, again, C2, C3, and talking about institutional, but, you know, what kind of adjustments we might make in here to kind of accommodate.
Get a sense of people thinking that could be a good fit for
we did talk about some things as far as when it's on the building, they have more flexibility. On the right, you have the front yard, interior yard,
right.
Building.
Yeah, it goes back to space. Yeah, right.
So, yeah. I mean, I'm thinking even like Argyle, for instance, bought that place out there. And if they have a big event, too.
Right.
Yeah. That's something outside of
that. Plus, for Argyle, they have such a big building that they're allowed to have pretty much a giant set. So they have a lot of flexibility there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the cultural center has less.
So that kind of answer is actually, I'm glad you brought that up, because right above that, the note is whether it's your sign permit option. So what I'm hearing at this point, C2, C3, institutional, is that part of the concept? That's industrial.
I don't think they need it because they already have so much sign change.
We've already seen some. So, Grant, because there was one other question I had in here. So, on page 4 of that, if you look under up update thing. It says about, this is about the education course for maintenance. The question we're asking about who would develop the materials and mechanisms for this program. Another committee would do, is it something staff would do, is it staff or council's, approval of what staff develops for these things, or do we need to have, get an ad hoc committee for all this, or is it you folks, or what, spend the time right now, part of this committee, I don't know how long this committee wants to meet, certainly, but there is that question of, all this education. Handouts and information, and when that information, how information is distributed, and that sort of stuff. So, who and what would you like doing?
How long would that last? If you added that into this committee, how much longer do you expect the committee to continue?
Well, that goes back there, and we always have kind of a staffing issue. We have to develop all this stuff. Maybe nothing, maybe a lot, but
I was thinking that seems like something that makes sense for our committee to participate in. It's certainly something we spend a lot of time and passion talking about, and I think we have a lot of good ideas. Maybe if we take it on ourselves to do a little homework, and staff also work on preparing some things, and we all, whenever we decide to do it, come and present some things and have a big brainstorming session rather than just, a proposal from staff. That might help staff, and also we have a lot of good ideas.
So we can focus maybe a little more, because it sounds like we've got fair agreement on all the rest of the stuff right now. So maybe more of the next meeting will be more heavily focused on that one point, on that education. So if you guys go out there, maybe help us out, go online. Let's all turn to the table next meeting. Sure, I think that'd be great.
I'm thinking sticking to the basics when it comes to education, right? It's going to be a handout for new businesses, if they really want to dive deep into the code, then they can, there's a major issue, but essentially just to educate business owners.
We're going to talk about when we would do it, what points of contact would be good to be
And I know we had talked at one point about involving the chamber, or at least contacting the chambers. Would this be a good point to maybe ask them for some input, if they would like to participate one way or another?
We could bring the next meeting if you like, or would you rather? It's up to you. I mean, we can either sort of internally start developing some stuff, but or if you want them from the ground. Have something more developed to say to them?
Who do you invite to the chamber? Chairman?
Do you want to take a support? Whatever.
I think it would be mainly asking them for help in distributing this information.
Well, I don't know. I think that because they represent the business community, that I think we ought to ask them to bring something to the table. I think that's probably a very important faux pas. If we don't, we're going to say, hey, we're the business community. You didn't talk to us. You didn't spend any time with us. So I think that's probably very valid.
Especially Mike also.
Mike.
Downtown Coalition.
Right. Well, I'm here with Downtown Coalition. I'm really, truly good. I wear that hat a little when I think about these things. But we should invite Mike. But I've invited Jennifer to come to school.
So, you will want to focus on that next meeting again. So, who would you like this to invite?
At the chamber level? Cheryl. I asked Cheryl who she knows would be the right person. Let her make that decision.
Okay, and what about what you said about the NDC? You want to do
well, we've invited Jennifer to join us, and she has yet to find the time to do it, but the time would be or not, it's hard to say. But absolutely someone should be there. And I'm involved on the board for the NBC, so I've been kind of relaying messages every meeting. I'm very confident that I get a good trail for these 10 years, 12 years.
the recommendation is that would be a whole other committee activity, not this committee. But yeah.
Okay.
That's good. Anybody else?
How you doing? Yeah, you know, like I don't know if you noticed, I was reading some sign code stuff. It's hard to read on my little phone.